Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining me today. We've got great conversations lined up, all conversations about supporting faithful family life and within this Lutheran worldview. And we're going to continue the conversation today on the Lord's Prayer, the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation. Going to take a look at media. And what does how does media affect our families, particularly when it comes to broadcast media, which KFUO, Worldwide KFUO, is a part of that broadcast media. But how what we do in media and what we hear in media, how that can impact us in the home, particularly when the parameters of that are changed, when the guidelines of that are changed. We're going to talk about that with Professor Lori Siegman from Concordia University Irvine in just a minute. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting the program. To find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Click on that. That'll take you to their page. Go check it out, kfuo.org. You can find out about our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin. Well, coming up in the first segment, we're going to talk about media with Professor Lori Siegman from Concordia University Irvine. In the second segment, we're going to there's something exciting going on here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center today. I don't know if you're familiar with American Heritage Girls, but we're going to talk with some representatives from the national organization, as well as a family that's been involved with American Heritage Girls, because today is kind of a historic moment as they sign the LCMS, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod American Heritage Girls, sign a memorandum of understanding. We'll get to what that means in the second half of the show. Time to talk about media, mass media, and what mass media, how that impacts our culture and our family. And joining us by phone today, Professor Lori Siegman. She's Director of Theater Activities, Assistant Professor of Theater at Concordia University in Irvine, California. Good morning, Professor Siegman.
Hi, Andy.
How are you today?
I'm great.
I have to give some background too for folks. Professor Siegman also was my advisor at Concordia University in River Forest, now Concordia University Chicago, when I was studying communication and theater there. So we have a little bit of background there. And Professor Siegman taught a course on mass media, and some of the topics that you brought up, even though I never actually got in the mass media course, I always got to, from the other classes that I took with you, I always got little gleanings of what you were teaching in the mass media course as well. And some of those things that you mentioned always kind of stuck with me. And that's what made me think when bringing up this topic today, that Professor Siegman's going to be a great person to talk with about this, because you have that Lutheran understanding, that Lutheran worldview, yet you study communication and theater and really have approached mass media from that perspective. So tell us about what you do at Concordia University Irvine now.
Well, at Irvine, I get to do theater primarily. Mm-hmm. I'm the chair of the theater department. I teach general theater classes, acting and the theater humanities, and I direct a play a year. Currently, I'm in a show. We have a professional theater company that we started called Loose Leaf that does a Shakespeare play in our amphitheater in May, and so my voice is a little scratchy because I've been projecting in rehearsals, but getting a chance to be on stage, which is a delight for me.
Wonderful. So I'm doing that. What show are you working on right now?
We're doing The Comedy of Errors.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah.
Well, when it comes to teaching, you're certainly you're a dedicated professor. You spend the time doing the research and know what you're talking about. And so I made sure that I gave you some information on what we wanted to talk about today. And that is the what's going on with the FCC. Were you surprised when we started this conversation about what's going on with the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission?
I'm not surprised that. From the information that you sent me, it looked like there was some talk mm-hmm. about perhaps relaxing the regulations for standard broadcast TV, and that a group stood up and lobbied to block that, mm-hmm. try to at least keep the standards that we currently have, which is exciting. That's the part that's surprising and exciting, because usually people, you know, don't stand up and do something about it, But I'm not surprised that there could be a movement from within the broadcast television industry to try to relax the standards a little bit, because they're trying to keep up mm-hmm. with the other forms of broadcast media, the premium cable channels mm-hmm. and web series, and web content is currently not regulated in the same way that broadcast TV is, just simply because broadcast TV has been around longer. So we've had time to put these regulations in, and they're trying to keep up.
Is it important for us to, or why is it important for us to have regulations, especially from the government, when it comes to broadcast TV or radio or other mass communication?
Well, I think it's important just as a, you know, as a Lutheran parent. You know, I'm wearing my Concordia professor hat, but I'm also sure. wearing my Lutheran parent hat. And I think, you know, yes, as a parent, it's very important for me that some regulations be in place on the government level because, you know, it's all we have to do is look at TV in other countries and look at the premium cable channels and see what type of content is there mm-hmm. when the regulations aren't.
I guess always parents need to be informed, but today it just seems like you really need to be knowledgeable of what you bring into your home and even outside your home because of technology. I mean, media is so accessible, even on the go.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. And I think it's so funny that you bring up the mass media class at Concordia Chicago, which I think they still do, even though I'm not teaching there anymore. but the kind of the general premise of that class, the one thing, if I had anything that I wanted students to walk away with from that class, was to get the understanding that we are consumers of the media. The mass media is not this sort of all-powerful thing that we are just victims of, mm-hmm. And that we're powerless, at the face of, you know, this nebulous thing called the mass media. These are just different, you know, medium means way, different way of communicating, and we are the consumer. So we have, if we are educated and make good choices, then we can, you know, move forward in what we are choosing to watch and consume.
And what we choose makes a difference in what the majority chooses makes a difference in what is available, really. There's a supply and demand issue here, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think that people, one of the other things about that class is we were trying to educate the students to say, look, you may think you're just one person. And, you know, it's that whole, well, I'm just one person. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it takes, now that we have, you know, we have social media, we have ways of connecting people, to create larger groups and things and just showing that this group that was able to lobby against the changes in the FCC shows that, you know, changes can, or, you know, people can band together and make a difference. But even just one person, what you individually choose to watch in your home or allow your kids to watch, and then talking about it with friends, Bible study groups, you know, your church, getting larger groups of people together. But that's not a reason to not even just think personally. Mm-hmm. What do I do in my own home? Because it does make a difference. You know, if we watch it, they will make more of it.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we do have more power in this equation than we think we do.
But so often in our culture, it's kind of a second nature, sort of. The media has really just kind of become, in some sense, background noise, and it just kind of, it's always playing in the background. It's kind of like the soundtrack that's always, you know, playing in our lives. And something that came up in the communications courses when I was a student that I hadn't really thought of before, because I just kind of approached media mindlessly. I hadn't really thought about it. But one topic that came up in sitcoms is how husbands and fathers are depicted in most comedies. Usually the husband and or father is depicted as kind of the doofus, you know, you think about it, in most sitcoms, husbands and fathers are not depicted as someone who's respected or, they certainly are loved, they're right. depicted as the goofy guy who can't be trusted, who's not responsible.
Mm-hmm. The butt of the joke.
Right. Right. And so that really made me think about, well, why do I watch these things? Is that really how I want? Is that the perspective that I want to adopt? You know, if I continue to watch these on a regular basis, will I just mindlessly adopt that perspective?
Right. And I think even what's so funny is, having kids, even shows that are meant for kids that mm-hmm. one wouldn't think have content issues. It is funny because, usually in those shows, both parents are like the dumb ones because, mm-hmm. you know, of course they write to the perspective of the kids that the kids are the only smart ones on the show. So I think what's interesting is the words you chose to use a couple of times, that sort of mindless following, sort of, you know, following like a lemming, just having, mm-hmm. having it sort of as background noise. And it just, we really need to be aware of what we are consuming, just like the food we eat, you know, the, mm-hmm. the things we expose ourselves to for the health of our body, the things that we expose ourselves to for the health of our mind and our faith and all of that. Definitely, I think the idea is to educate ourselves and to be aware and to talk amongst ourselves as a family. I'm not the kind of parent that, you know, well, of course, says to my kids, well, you can't watch anything, you know, but I sit and watch shows with them or mm-hmm. we talk together about these exact kind of issues and talk about what kind of, you know, what is a good father? What, you know, in the context, it is a conversation starter at times.
With the potential relaxed standards in broadcast TV, that means then you could be sitting around watching TV at mm-hmm. 7 o'clock in the evening, 8 o'clock in the evening with your family, and profanity and nudity are just part of the show. You're sitting yeah. there.
And it's, you know,
how does that change things?
I think it's huge. I think what's interesting is as I was preparing for this conversation, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, in some ways we're already there. Mm-hmm. Depending on what channel you have or subscribe to, you can be just, if you don't, you know, and the big thing I wanted to bring up was the parental controls. Because if you don't have any parental controls, that you can be kind of doing the channel flipping, scrolling thing, and already go past something that you would never want mm-hmm. flip across your screen, especially if your kids are in the room. So, I mean, like I said, in some ways we're kind of already there with the cable channels, but if it were on, you know, every channel, it would be a challenge, even more of a challenge. But I think, again, rather than sitting back and saying, oh, you know, woe is us, get involved. I think there are things we can do to be responsible citizens in our communities. One is making sure that our representatives know where we stand and where that line should be drawn, mm-hmm. Making our voice heard. But using the parental controls, making sure that you as a parent are being proactive to sort of control or limit that kind of content that can be accidentally come across. And as a parent of a teenager, change those passwords often because mm-hmm. they will.
Because they'll figure them out.
Curious and dedicated teens will try to figure out those passwords. But, you know, to kind of look at what we can do. But, yeah, it's a scary thought to think of what would happen on our broadcast TV if there weren't any governmental regulations.
And another point to consider, broadcast TV. I know for many households, broadcast TV is kind of secondary. The main thing, mm-hmm. a lot of households don't even have an antenna for a TV anymore. They get their TV through cable, whether it be basic or, you know, the multiple channels. Is broadcast TV even a concern anymore? You know, years, what, 20, 30 years ago, I guess probably about 30 years ago, broadcast TV was probably the main way that Americans watched television.
Right.
And, you know, we had a big antenna on top of our house or in the attic or, you know, those giant ugly things and that's how you had the little TV with the antenna sticking out of the top of it. And that's, and you tried to watch the TV.
And hold it with tinfoil.
Exactly. Yeah. Rabbit ears, all those things. Those are kind of, you know, are almost a thing of the past, especially with the conversion to digital TV in the last few years, in the last decade. Is broadcast TV really even that much of a concern anymore? Because back then, it was something that anybody could access anytime. It was free. It's over the airwaves. If you had a TV, you could watch it. And so, you know, with cable and you had to pay for it, you had to register for it, and so adults had some control over it.
Right. Now it's just mm-hmm. the same, it's the way that we get both broadcast and premium channels, you know, all through whatever cable package we choose. So, yeah, I mean, I think broadcast TV, the regular networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, mm-hmm. et cetera, I think they are fighting to remain relevant in this. I mean, this is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I think that when you know, if you watch the Emmys, the most recent Emmys, all, you know, we were talking amongst my friends that are interested in all this, that, you know, the shows that are winning awards now aren't, there's this sort of, it used to be the main shows that were winning everything that people were talking about and watching were on the regular channels, and then you had these other shows mm-hmm. that were kind of on the periphery, and now it's completely flipped. What I would consider, you know, quality, I want to bracket that by saying, you know, some of these shows don't have good content in terms of nudity and language. However, like the writing, what's happening is the better writing and the better actors are flocking to the stations that will show their work uncensored because they don't want to be fettered by standards that mm-hmm. tell them what they can and cannot say. So, unfortunately, the better quality acting and writing are going to these shows. They're winning the awards, and broadcast TV is going, how do we remain in the game? And so, you know, unfortunately, I think that's where this is coming from.
Well, and whatever's popular is where the dollars are, too. So
right.
That's where the funding, that's where the sponsors are. So that's where the commercials, the funding is going to go. So they're more likely to get the talent that they want.
Right. And the thing is with the broadcast stations, they live and die by their advertising dollar. Mm-hmm. And whereas the cable channels, you know, we're paying, you know, separately for mm-hmm. them. They don't have to have they can just charge us whatever they want for us to have their channel. And then their cable company or, you know, whatever the provider is, you know, charges for it. And so they have that kind of funding. And if they have the kind of shows that are garnering demand, then people will pay to get those channels. Whereas broadcast TV, they're seeing their market share, their audience share drift away to these other shows. And they need that back to survive because they want to be able to sell that advertising dollar. So it's an interesting time for exactly what you bring up. What's going to happen, you know, in the next 20 years to the regular broadcast TV?
Is it inevitable? Do you think?
This.
This group, Morality and Media, that stood up and was involved in, you know, made their voice heard about the, mm-hmm. the potential changes in decency standards with the FCC and broadcast TV. They certainly were heard. And so those changes haven't happened. But is it inevitable?
Right.
Will it happen down the road? What are your thoughts?
You know, gosh, I would sure love to think that there would be enough of us that would stand up and say, look, we at least want some sort of bastions of content, some areas on TV mm-hmm. that are preserved from all of this. You know, so I would love to think that, and I would hope that would be the case. But, you know, if you would have asked me 15 or 20 years ago, that a show like Game of Thrones, which I admit I had seen an episode or two. I haven't watched it religiously, but I had to see what it was all about. You know, and that show has everything, right? If you would have asked me, you know, 20 years ago, is a show like that going to be just on, readily watchable? You know, I would have said, oh, I hope, you know, I don't think so. I hope not. You know, but here we are. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think it is, the power's in our hands. Honestly, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I think we can throw up our hands in a defeatist attitude and say, you know, well, we're the minority here and everybody else is going to want this. But, you know, we can choose to make a difference. So time will tell. I mean, I guess it's not really nailing down an answer to that question. But, you know, I guess it does bring up the fact that, you know, we as a society have to kind of mm-hmm. decide. And, you know, I think we as faithful people need to not give up. Mm-hmm. Especially just in terms of our, you know, church, and the same kind of conversation is having, is inevitable that, you know, the Christian church is going to, you know, shrink to nothingness. Well, I hope, you know, obviously we trust that in God's hands, you mm-hmm. know, he's empowering us, but that's not his will. He
sure.
wants the church to survive, to spread his word. So we need to take the responsibility as Christians in the society and try to do something about it.
We need to be faithful and take a stand as this group, Morality and Media, has. Now, because they've stood up and their voice has been heard, that change in standards has not happened.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does, what would that mean for households when it comes to TV? I mean, that just means what? Parents are going to have to be all that more vigilant, right?
Right. I think so. And I mean, coming back to the issue of the parental control, one nice thing is that, you know, it has been made standard on TVs that, mm-hmm. you know, we can go in there and block content, you know, and the fact that they do have the rating system on the shows now is a blessing because mm-hmm. you can set it for a PG-13 or whatever, however you want to set it. And it prevents you from accidentally scrolling by something that you don't want to see. And so I think it'll become just even more vital for parents to, we won't be able to just be these sort of passive mind, let's turn the TV on and have it on in the background mm-hmm. anymore. We're going to have to take an active role.
With the technology, as you said, all TVs have that on there now. They have those parental controls, you know, all the mm-hmm. because of the technology and everything being digital, they have that technology. Do you think that that's one reason why it could be, you know, the reason for saying, well, now that all the technology is there in place, families can regulate what is viewed in their homes. Why mm-hmm. can't we make broadcast TV more or less censored?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. It's interesting how, you know, everything has two sides.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing and a curse. The blessing because it gives us more control, but you're right. It could very easily be used as an argument for, well, you know, instead of the government controlling it, you know, you just control it in your home. And I guess there is something to that, puts it in our hands more directly. But, you know, as a Lutheran parent, I would love to see it as a both and.
Sure.
You know, that there's somehow something, you know, on the governmental level and me in my home. But yeah, you're right. It could be used as an argument for that, unfortunately.
How do I block these evil airwaves from coming into my home?
Well, and, you know, that's the other thing, too, is that there is a way. Obviously, as adults, we, you know, there are things that I watch that I see as works of art I would not let my kids watch. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is something to that. You know, we don't want to completely put blinders on and just mm-hmm. be like, well, we can't experience, you know.
Sure.
We're in the world, but not of the world. We still, you know, can see and appreciate certain things in the context of our faith. And
sure. And in our vocation and the maturity that we've been mm-hmm. given, there are different levels of maturity that allow us to appreciate various forms of art.
Yes, correct. if it's gonna cause you to stumble, then
right.
don't.
Absolutely.
That kind of thing.
Well, I have to say in one of the things I think from that class that the mass media course was I think you discussed the movie Psycho, and that's always stuck in my mind, and perhaps it's because my last name is Bates. And maybe that's why that class always stood out in my mind. But just a memory that was sparked there. Well, today we've been talking with Professor Lori Siekman, Director of Theater Activities and Assistant Professor of Theater at Concordia University Irvine, Department Chair for Theater there. Professor Siekman, thanks so much for being our guest this morning on Faith and Family. It's been fun talking with you and certainly a good topic and maybe more conversation for your students now.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Well, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to check in with our friends from American Heritage Girls. Stick around for more Faith and Family right after this on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
When Mary Guzman picked up her kids from school, one of them talked about his new assignment. He had to write a paper on where he'd choose to go if he went back in time. When Mary asked him about his choice, he looked right into her eyes and said, "I'd go back and tell you not to abort Jacob and Hope, his brother and sister." Talk about a knife in the heart. Mary's kids knew about the abortions, but she was confronted for the first time with the sad reality that kids were also affected. They too mourn and suffer the loss. Abortion affects more than the baby and mom. It impacts siblings too, as well as grandparents, aunts, uncles, and others. For more information on how abortion impacts siblings, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. Be informed.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
And thus does the Lord look upon you. He is not ashamed of you or angry at you. And he does not hold the cost of your redemption, even of your complaints and crying and backsliding against you.
Live Wednesday on Issues Etc. we'll review a sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson on sorrow, joy, and motherhood.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8:15 Central and originates from Ascension Lutheran Church in South St. Louis, where Reverend Matt Clark leads divine worship. Our live late broadcast at 10:45 comes from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne, Missouri, where Pastor Tim Ostermeyer leads the service. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Nigerian authorities say they verified the authenticity of video of kidnapped girls shown wearing Islamic veils and singing Quranic verses. Relatives and teachers and classmates identified 54 girls after watching the video. A teen whose father and brother were killed by Boko Haram in 2011 says they were killed because they were Christians. Deborah Peters told the Hudson Institute that her father, a pastor, refused at gunpoint to renounce his faith.
He told him that he should rather die than to go to hellfire.
A panel of federal appeals court judges and Richmond, Virginia, has heard arguments in a case challenging the state's ban on same-sex marriages. Alliance Defending Freedom attorney Austin Nimix.
Virginians have made the decision to maintain that policy, and they are constitutionally entitled to do so.
A lower court judge held last month that the ban violates the U.S. Constitution's equal protection and due process guarantees. And a new survey has found that anti-Semitism remains prevalent around the world, with 1 in 4 adults surveyed in 102 countries expressing anti-Jewish sentiments. I'm Norman Hall.
Welcome back to The Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It's a good day here in the studio. It's a good day here at the LCMS International Center. Exciting stuff going on today. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program today, a historic moment with American Heritage Girls and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod signing a memorandum of understanding. And we're going to talk about what that means. Joining me in studio today, Patty Garibay, National Executive Director for the American Heritage Girls. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for making the trip here to spend some time with us at the International Center today and to be our guest here on Faith and Family. It's kind of an exciting day.
It certainly is. We are so pleased to be here. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Also joining us in studio today, Jody Token, National Public Relations with American Heritage Girls. Jody, thanks for joining us in studio today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And you happen to be a local person too as well, correct?
I do. I'm here right here in St. Louis with my family. My girls are American Heritage Girls as well.
Wonderful. Also joining us in studio today, the Reverend Mark Kiesling from the National Youth Gathering and Office of National Ministry here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center. Good morning, Pastor Kiesling.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you in studio. You're going to be a regular here That's in the right. studio.
It's fantastic to be here with you and with your audience. It's great. Keep coming back.
Now, Patty, you are the National Executive Director of American Heritage Girls, so I'm going to point a lot of the questions at you about what is American Heritage Girls? What's the what is this organization? What's it all about? What's the work of American Heritage Girls?
Well, American Heritage Girls is a Christ-centered character development and leadership organization for girls ages 5 to 18.
Very good. And so it's an organization that's focused on character building, character development, that's a Christian organization, a Christ-centered organization. What does that mean?
Well, really, there's six areas of fun that we call American Heritage Girls, and it really addresses the whole girl. There's life skill enhancement, which is merit badges that mm-hmm. you might know for a typical scout-type organization.
Sure.
There's developing teamwork and building confidence, and we feel that's best addressed in the out-of-doors. So we have a very strong outdoor program.
Mm-hmm.
Social development. Let's face it, girls like to have fun, and fun they have with peers that are like-minded and adults that are faith-filled. Girl leadership is an important part. We believe every girl, as she grows, is an influencer, and mm-hmm. therefore she is a leader. And so we encourage the girls in leadership and understanding her God-given role and that she has great influence because of God's power within her. And then there's character development, and we think that's best done when the girls give themselves away. That is being a servant leader, giving service to others, and developing their passions, learning what perhaps God's design on their future may be because mm-hmm. of a passion they have to serve others. And then finally, and most importantly, a spiritual development. And that is growing in your faith. And that's why we're so excited to be here on this important historic day.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting. The mission of American Heritage Girls, building women of integrity through service to God, family, community, and country. What does it mean to be a woman of integrity today?
Well, boy, number one, it is to counter the culture.
Mm-hmm.
The culture is not always full of the best role models at this time for girls of integrity. And so we think it's really important that girls go back to biblical principles to understand what God has called us to be as women. And that is to be pure, to be reverent, to be responsible, to be perseverant, mm-hmm. To love Him above all others, and to recognize that His word is relevant to today's workings in life, and mm-hmm. that by understanding and being around people that are like-minded in regards to their faith, it helps us to grow up. I truly believe girls today need a quiver to combat this culture, and that quiver needs to be filled with arrows, and American Heritage Girls is just one of those many arrows that are necessary.
And that was my next question. Why can this not be the things that the character building and why is this not found in other places or you know, extracurricular activities and sports and things like that? Do they not provide that?
Well, some do. Of mm-hmm. course, it depends on those adult mentors, and
sure.
that's critical. And with American Heritage Girls, we have a statement of faith that each adult mentor agrees that I have a living relationship with Christ. I understand that I am His and He is mine, and that therefore I can lead girls on the way they should go rather than just anyone who offers. So mm-hmm. there is a selection process. American Heritage Girls is also chartered by the Lutheran Church, and therefore the Lutheran Church owns and operates it and selects those leaders to mm-hmm. influence those girls. It's so important. Picking the leaders for tomorrow is important because we have to pick the influencers for today.
Congregations can charter a group, and so then that leadership then is founded in what your congregation, what your church, your faith community is rooted in as well.
That's correct.
Now, Jody, you serve in the area of national public relations, but you're also a mom and involved with American Heritage Girls. And so why did you get involved?
I got involved because my husband, who is the father of all girls, wanted his girls to grow up to be women of integrity, mm-hmm. to be strong, to have servant hearts. And he heard Patty Garibay on a radio program much like this almost 10 years ago and heard her speaking these same words and said, I want this for my girls. I want them to be strong women. I want them to be biblically based women. And We couldn't find anything like that. This is something that was so amazing to us as Christian Lutheran families. Mm-hmm. So we started a troop at our Lutheran church.
Also joining us by phone today, we have a family involved in American Heritage Girls as well. Sierra Broman, an American Heritage Girl and candidate, I believe, for the highest award in American Heritage Girls, and her mom, Leah Broman. Welcome, ladies, and thanks so much for joining us today on Faith and Family.
Thank you for having us. We're both glad to be here.
Sierra, now tell us about your involvement in American Heritage Girls.
All right. Well, I started AHG in third grade, so I've been in for about 8 years. I just finished my second year as a Patriot, which is the high school level, so it's the oldest that you can be in AHG. And I have recently just completed my Dolly Madison, and I applied yesterday to be a Stars and Stripes candidate.
So what does that mean? What does it mean to complete Dolly Madison and then be a Stars and Stripes candidate?
Okay, well, we have level awards that are optional to earn at the end of each level. So as a Patriot, I have to earn my Dolly Madison before I'm allowed to go on and earn my Stars and Stripes. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of requirements for that, some of which are we have certain required badges. We have a religious program that we have to go through called PRAY. It's the God in Life, so it teaches us how to apply the things that our faith is into our daily lives. And then we also get to do lots of service to our community. We have to complete a certain number of service hours, and those are just some of the things. But then we complete that, and we're allowed to then go on and apply for Stars and Stripes candidacy if we are so inclined. And the Stars and Stripes really focuses on bringing out the leadership in girls and also the service, because we have to have a project of at least 100 service hours that in some way gives back to the community. And we then have to lead both adults and younger girls in completing those projects.
So it sounds like a very complex process and system. And so you're coordinating all this and putting this project together and coordinating all these people for this project. It takes a lot of organization. Are you prepared for that task?
I mean, I sure hope so. I would say that I think I am. I obviously have just started, so I'm really early on in the process, just getting into what I would like to plan for my project and things like that. I'm mm-hmm. still nailing down the details. I haven't even turned in an idea to AHG yet. But it does require a lot of organization, and I hope that that's something that I'm ready to take on.
Wonderful. Leah, why did your family get involved in American Heritage Girls?
Well, like most people, I think I'd heard about AHG, short for American Heritage Girls, through friends who were involved. And I got excited because it was something that I could do with my girls, and it was a Christian organization. I got excited about the life skills, about the camps and activities that they could go to, the spiritual development and focus that they had. And I wanted to do something. My husband was already involved with my boys in other activities, but I wanted to get excited about doing some things with my girls. We have 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls, and it's hard to have enough time with each of them. And I saw AHG as a place where I could invest intentional time in things I didn't always have time to get to, mm-hmm. and spending time with my girls and on things that I thought were already valuable that they had already organized. So I've been a heavily involved parent ever since the beginning, although I'm not a unit leader, which is a blessing for those parents who do step forward. We're involved in just about everything that our local group does here.
What has been the joy or the benefit? What are the joyous outcomes that you've seen from your family's involvement with AHG?
It does give me one-on-one or one-on-two time with my girls, which is a wonderful blessing. It's hard to find that in a busy society with all the activities going on. I've loved the faith affirmation that comes from being a part of AHG. It is, of course, diverse among Christians, but our own beliefs as Lutherans has always been supported, and I appreciate that. Even though, we don't all agree as Christians on every tenet of the faith, I've always been supported in what we believe. And I love the fellowship and the camaraderie that's there. We have lifelong friends that we have developed because of AHG that we're excited to see as we go different places on trips, around the city and even in other locations. We've been out of town before, and people have seen our American Heritage Girls spirit wear that we're wearing or something that might be on our car, and we make instant connections in other places. So it's been a neat fellowship as it's grown, and we've been able to see it grow across the past few years.
Sierra, what have you gained from American Heritage Girls that's most valuable to you?
Well, there's a whole lot of things, but I will try to keep it brief. I think the biggest one is the faith influence of having both the support and the growth from the program, whether it's from just talking with my friends, having a Christian environment, or the Bible studies like God and Life that we complete as older girls. I also think it gives great leadership opportunities. We're constantly working with the younger girls. I'm hoping that we're being positive role models in their life and inspiring them to grow up to be godly young women. We also get to do lots of fun outdoor skills. We go to summer camp. We do rock climbing, all sorts of fun things. And then, like this past year at summer camp, I was able to do COPE, which is you learn leadership skills and how to rely on others, that kind of thing, teamwork, confidence in an outdoor setting, which was really neat. And so just lots of fun things.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you, Sierra, for being our guest on Faith and Family today. And Mom Leah, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us and share your perspective on American Heritage Girls with us today.
Thank you. We've really enjoyed being able to share, and I hope others will learn more about AHG. It's a wonderful organization.
Absolutely. Back to Patty. Patty, hearing Sierra and her mom Leah's thoughts on American Heritage Girl, is that common to hear that from the families that are involved in American Heritage Girls?
It is common, but it never ceases to amaze me mm-hmm. what God has done with this organization and how he has allowed simple people to make an influence because of him, mm-hmm. Just glorifying him and having started this almost 20 years ago and hearing how girls' lives are changed and how moms' lives are changed and even families' lives are changed. It's a blessing, so I hope I never tire of hearing that.
Reverend Kiesling, what does it, today, we're here because of the opportunity to sign a memorandum of understanding with American Heritage Girls. What is a memorandum of understanding? What does this mean? We have one with other organizations as well, correct?
Correct. We also have one with the Boy Scouts of America as well. Mm-hmm. So primarily, it's kind of a foundational document that says we are together in a mission to reach out to young people in our congregations as well as in our communities. Primarily for us, it's an agreement that states things for the LCMS congregation or school mm-hmm. that is actually setting up a charter. So primarily that, again, the church along with the family are the primary focus for faith formation. And so that's certainly an important thing for us mm-hmm. as Lutherans. And I think Leah said it so well that within that organization, they could even be a part of another group that's not chartered by an LCMS congregation or school, but yet there's a great respect mm-hmm. for what we believe doctrinally as Lutherans. And so this is a statement that essentially says we are one in mission about raising up young people in their vocations, teaching them the faith and connecting them to the local church. And so that's such an important part of what this agreement says. And so that's what's exciting for us, and that we're just glad to have this day here mm-hmm. after a number of months and years of discussing it and be able to be here to sign it.
And what does this mean, Patty, for American Heritage Girls to have this memorandum of understanding with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Well, of course, it means a great deal personally, but moreover, it means a great deal to the families, the mm-hmm. Lutheran families that will be able to use the MOU to encourage a charter at their local church and, mm-hmm. and be able to bring this wonderful gift of AHG to the community through this troop. It's a wonderful outreach, and it's a great way to bring young families into the church.
What does, let's go to Jody, what does your experience look like? What does a typical group, American Heritage Girls group look like? What types of things would you do? Or what has your family done with AHG?
Well, first, my troop has, I really feel like it's this little slice of heaven because it's groups, it's become an amazing community outreach for my church. Mm-hmm. We have girls from every denomination. We have girls who don't have a home church, so it's this great, you know, outreach opportunity for my church. And then our youth ministry can invite them to Sunday school, mm-hmm. to all the youth programs at the church, so it becomes a great outreach. Just like Leah said and Sierra said, the girls are so relational. They love baking cakes together. They love doing science projects together. They love the whole gamut of the whole girl experience. And that's what our troop, I hope, looks like to the girls. It'd be fun to ask the girls what their favorite things are, what us moms think is great, you know, the curriculum that we build and what the girls think. As long as they're having fun, they don't even realize that they've just accomplished an amazing badge experience. And what they love to do after they've learned a skill, then they learn to give it back and give it back to the community. So their service projects, the service hearts that these girls have is unbelievable. And that's what this generation of girls is hungry for, and that's what they want to do. They want to give back to the community, and if they can learn something new and then give it back, it's an amazing experience for them.
So there's certainly what I'm hearing is a large emphasis on service, mm-hmm. that is learned, that is experienced as American Heritage girls. I'm glad you mentioned some of the things that you do, from baking cakes together to science projects and science experiments together, to what Sierra mentioned about the outdoor experience that she's had at camps. And so it's not just just one narrow area of what we think one person might think girls should do. It's a pretty broad spectrum of activities and experiences that all bring us back to service and fellowship and encouraging us in our faith. Patty, having this memorandum of understanding now, the groups can, we've had Lutheran groups charter. What types of resources are provided for groups that may want to charter now, congregations that may want to start a group?
That's a great question. There are many, many resources for volunteers and for charter organizations. Probably one of the best to start with is to visit our website, mm-hmm. hgonline.org, or just do a Google search of American Heritage Girls. But we have a full national staff that is here to support all of our leaders and all of our charter organizations, as well as training, what's called a leader resource guide that comes out quarterly. Even if you have never mm-hmm. run a scout-type organization or even a meeting, those resources within the leader resource guide will give you the tools to do it. All you have to be is willing. And all of the tools come from American Heritage Girls. In addition, there's marketing helps as well to help you with starting an organization, to create a ministry that you can have within the Lutheran Church, and also to have a information session so that parents can learn more. And mm-hmm. it's just turnkey. All you got to do is plug and play, and there you learn about American Heritage Girls to get the interest up sure. at your local church. So the stuff is here. We just want to help support in any way we can.
How often do groups meet? How often do they get together? And we talked about some of the things they do when they get together. Is it every week? Is it every other week? How often do groups usually get together?
Well, really, it depends on the charter. Mm-hmm. The charter owns and operates this program. So if one church would like to have it every week, it can be done that way. If they want every other week, that can be done that way. If they want to do two a week and then a field trip or a camp out, that's fine too. So it's really up to the charter organization. They own and operate it. It's unique to them.
Mm-hmm. And working through the different levels, where as they progress, as they grow and mature, work their way up. We talked about the highest award that Sierra will soon be a candidate for. What does it mean for that Stars and Stripes award?
It means a lot. Mm-hmm. These girls actually, as part of the Stars and Stripes award, write a spiritual essay, a life ambitions essay. And they talk about how God has influenced their journey through American Heritage Girls. It's part of the mandates of this whole requirement that they have to do. And, you know, so many girls have not been introspective about what has God done in my life? How did I call on him during my tough times of organizing? And you aren't kidding. I mean, Andy, you were right on. This is huge. This is project management mm-hmm. at its best. And they're falling to their knees, asking God for help because they're so frustrated at times. But isn't that life?
Mm.
And so they're beginning on a journey, and they're getting ready to go to whether it be college or a career or even home. And they're realizing that life is not easy, but I serve a great God that helps me get through this. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that through a variety of ways, but American Heritage Girls has helped too.
You brought up something that was my next question. How does this help? We've talked about character building, character development. what do these young women who have gone through American Heritage Girls, what are they doing today, who are now a mature women? What are they doing today? What is life like for them now?
Oh, it's so neat that you asked that question. And to see the fruits of this labor in our own lifetime, what a blessing. But these girls have typically chosen service-oriented kinds of occupations. We have some that are in divinity school. We have a few that are actually in medical school at this time. We've got nurses. We have one girl who, after earning the aviation badge, decided to do her Stars and Stripes in Colorado Springs at an airport hangar where these World War II vets hung out. So she did the Living History Project for the Library of Congress to capture their important message to today's youth. Not only did she do that, but she went one step further. She now is a missionary aviator in Uganda.
Wow.
Now that is a story. Esther Schoppler, Colorado Springs. It's a blessing.
Wow. Very neat. Mark, Reverend Kiesling, what does this mean for us now as Lutherans? We've had some congregations that, that certainly have chartered. What does this mean for us from here on out? More opportunities?
Absolutely. More opportunities. And I think Patty kind of said, too, as far as for those that are maybe looking for a way in which they want to do a ministry which brings together their families, brings together their community, is that this really allows them to have more communication with their districts and their LCMS district, home district, with us in our office, too, as well, be able to get those resources, really, and be able to get those into their hands, allow them to make decisions about what maybe ways they would be able to reach out to their community and their families and be able to connect them to their church and continue to lift them up in their faith and their vocational development.
Jody, is there a way for our listeners to find out if there is a group in their area already, maybe affiliated with a church, maybe a congregation right down the street? They may not know that it exists. How can they find out more?
Yes, absolutely. Excuse me. The AHG website, which is ahgonline.org, on the homepage has a Google Map troop locator. So you literally can go to the homepage, click, type in your area code. Zip code, and it'll zoom into your city or your area and see what troops are already there. And then you can send a private message to that troop coordinator and say, hey, I was curious about joining your troop, or, you know, tell me about the days that you meet. And then they can take that step and find people right there in their hometown. And of course, they can always call the national office, too, and talk to somebody, and they can connect someone locally.
So the ahgonline.org is really kind of the hub to find all this, to find the resources if you want a charter group, to find out if there's a group already in your neighborhood, in your community that you can connect with, and to really learn more about. I know, you know, we've been talking for about 20 minutes about what American Heritage Girls is, but there's so much more to it. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the various levels. We've kind of alluded to that with Sierra's story, but there's just so much depth to it. We've really kind of only, you know, just scraped the surface a little bit here, haven't we? Anything else, Patty, with about another minute, anything else that you want to point us to or share with us about American Heritage Girls as we conclude our time today?
Every year we ask our parents, what do they think of the program? We think it's important to get feedback. And some of the coolest stuff is that 92% of all of our parents feel that AHG has helped to reinforce their daughter's relationship with God. That's what we're here for. That's what the church is here for. And we're blessed to have those kinds of statistics. And we thank God for the blessing he's given us.
Amen. That's a good thing. It's so nice to and refreshing to hear about an organization that that encourages character building and more so that that faith and relationship with God. Well, today our guests in studio have been Patty Garibay, National Executive Director for American Heritage Girls. Patty, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Jody Token with National Public Relations for American Heritage Girls. Jody, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
And the Reverend Mark Kiesling, thanks so much for being in studio with us today.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance right here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO. Hope you can stick around for that with the Reverend Mark Hawkinson and a good conversation, inspirational music, all part of the lineup right here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.